wonderful. It's good to see you today. And over the last several weeks, we've been exploring the story of God in the book of Acts. And in its most simplest form, it is like this. The book of Acts is about the work of the Holy Spirit revealing the presence of Jesus Christ in the movement of Jesus in the world. Today is the last story in the book of Acts. I invite you, if you would, please, to turn with me to Acts chapter 28. And we will begin reading at verse 23. Paul has completed his voyage at this point. He is in Rome, where he wanted to be. He is under house arrest. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, hear with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Our Father, thank you for the journey through this book of Acts. Thank you for the various ways that we've seen your Spirit work. Thank you for reminding us, encouraging us that this is always has been, always will be about the movement of Jesus in the world. That's who we are. And thank you for giving us the grace to live that kind of life. And today I ask that your Holy Spirit will just bring these words of revelation and light to us as we look at Paul in his final days. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Undoubtedly, Paul's story and journey took him to where he ultimately wanted to go. I don't know whether he knew that when he got there he would be under house arrest, but he was in the place. He had spent his entire life talking about Jesus. His number one topic was the kingdom of God. And everywhere he went, he explained it. He shared it. He talked about it. And he told people and shared with people that God's kingdom had come just like Jesus said it would. And that Jesus was the focal point and the centerpiece of God's kingdom, and that God was like a father and he was inviting people into the kingdom. Their lives could be changed. They could have a different future. They could be changed in the present. And God the Father would wait for them and encourage them and open his arms. And Jesus had died for them and been buried and risen on the third day. And Paul was an advocate, a mediator of the reality that the kingdom of God had broken into human history. And now he sits in a prison cell. And I suppose that he must have always thought that if he could go to Rome, he would just get up and down the streets. He would go to places of worship. He would go to politicians. He would go to places of businesses. He would meet people on the streets. He would talk to anybody, anywhere. And he would just have incredible freedom to express the gospel. But he couldn't do as he probably envisioned. And yet an amazing thing happened. People heard that Paul was in Rome. And so they came by to where he was under house arrest, and they visited him they listened to him tell the story. As Paul told the story, some people shook their heads and said, that just can't be right. That can't be true. That's not the way we've heard it. That's not the way God works. And they just got up and left. Others heard the story and said, I've never heard it like that, but it rings so true. I get it now. This is a story about Christ and what he has done. This is an incredible story of the grace of God. And they stayed and they listened to Paul explain further what the story of Jesus was all about. I would imagine there were many nights that Paul let his mind wander back to the really early days. And I imagine he asked himself the question, what about all the people who came before me and they talked about God and they talked about the kingdom? Did they get the same response that I get? Did they have people who listened and it was crystal clear, but they never got it? And then there were other people who listened and they embraced and they were welcomed and they joined the movement. He probably thought about the day in which Moses was out wandering himself in the desert and God appeared to him, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a bush and said, look, here's the deal. I'm going to send you down. I've got a group of people. They are struggling slaves. I'm going to turn them into a nation. And I can understand Moses wanting to backpedal out of that whole thing and say, this is not the right time. This is not a good time in my life. I'm the wrong person. I've been there, done that. We've tried this. It doesn't work. They've got me for murder down there. I mean, this is not a good plan at all. And then God starts saying, let me just reveal to you a little more about what's going to go down when you are visiting Pharaoh. I mean, you're going to be able to do these signs and wonders, and they're going to be plagues brought upon the people of Egypt. And maybe Moses started thinking, all right, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, then I'll go down there and speak to Pharaoh. And Moses goes down and he speaks to Pharaoh, and these plagues break out. And Moses must have thought to himself, man, if ever that seals the deal, this should be it. And Pharaoh initially on many of them seems to get it. Like, wow, your God can do greater things than the gods of the Egyptians. But it doesn't take long for Pharaoh to backtrack and say, you know what? It's not going to happen. I'm not letting these people go. And Moses would go again and again. And there would be another act of God. There would be another plague. There would be another sign. And time again, Pharaoh just saw all that he saw. He heard all that he heard. And he could not receive the message of the God that Moses had encountered and the God that was showing up when Moses showed up. And maybe Paul thought about that and said, yeah, Moses walked down this path. He knows what it's like to make the presence of God evident. He knows what it's like to speak on God's behalf. And it's just like nobody hears a word of it. And then he thought about, I'm sure, Isaiah, the words which end the book of Acts. Isaiah is just worshiping one day in a temple. He just has an incredible experience with the living God. And he has a vision of God. A vision of God is so big that the trail of his cloak, the trail fills the temple. And Paul looks up and he sees seraphim proclaiming, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. His glory fills the earth. And they had six wings each. And two of their wings, they covered their face as they looked upon God. Two of their wings covered their feet, and with two of their wings they flew, and they kept proclaiming, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And every time they proclaimed it, the foundations and the thresholds of the temple shook with the very words, holy, 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 the words we have sung this morning. The building shook as they proclaimed those words. And Isaiah felt so sinful. How can I be looking at this? How can I behold the very presence of God and see these angels. And he's sitting on a throne. I feel so guilty. I'm just a man. And one of those angels flew to the altar with a pair of tongs and took the coal from the altar and placed it in his hand and brought it to Isaiah and touched his lips with burning coal. And Isaiah felt clean. Isaiah felt forgiven. Isaiah felt like the weight of sin, his sin, had been lifted from his shoulders. And he heard a voice saying, "Who'll go represent me? Who'll be my advocate? Who's going to tell the story? Who can I send?" And Isaiah said, "I'll go." And he said, "But I know what it's like to feel the weight of sin, and I live in a world of sinful people. But I'll go." And then the words of Almighty God came back to him and said exactly what is recorded at the end of Acts. "Isaiah, you'll go, and you will speak words that they will not understand. They won't get it. No matter how simply you put those words, you will see things, and it will seem as if it is clear to everybody else, but they will not see them." And I'm sure Isaiah, after having this incredible vision with God and the experience of forgiveness, must have said in response to God, must have thought to himself, "How could this not be obvious to everybody? How could it not be that having this story to tell, that when I go out and tell other people about it, they will not hear it and understand it. When they see it, they will get it as well as I do, and they too will experience the God of grace, the God of forgiveness, and they too will have the weight of the sin lifted from their shoulders and relief from their souls and their hearts." But just like Isaiah was promised that the people would not get it, and just like it happened in the life of Moses, Jesus himself stood among people and told a story. And he told this incredible story one day. It is very simple. He said a guy went out to sow some seed, and he was just throwing the seed down. And some of the seed fell on path and hard ground. Some seed fell on rocky ground. Some seed fell in the weeds, just grew and choked it. And some of the seed fell on good ground. And that's the way it is when you talk about the kingdom of God. And the disciples were among the group of people listening to that parable. And even they, when it was said and done, when they got together for their evening meal, looked at Jesus and said, "You know that story that you told today about some farmer going out and he was sowing the seed and seed fell on various grounds and people had different responses? You know," a disciple said, "What was that all about? We don't get that. We didn't get that story." And Jesus said, "Well, you didn't get that story because you have eyes and you can't see. You have ears and you cannot hear. Your heart does not understand what I'm talking about yet." And now Paul concludes his ministry. And I imagine he thought about the Moses who had the same story that he did, about Isaiah in the temple, about Jesus talking to a crowd, and now he too has people who come and he tells the story. And some see it and get it, and some see right through it. Some hear it and understand, and some it's as if the words go right through them. without any bit of meaning whatsoever. And I imagine Paul must have just smiled to himself and thought, you know, I'm not alone in this kingdom of God thing. I'm not alone in the mission. For who could ever explain why the words of the gospel can be so heard by some and so unheard by others? How can the kingdom of God be so seen by some and so unseen by others? And Paul must have reflected as the night stars came out upon this life of ministry, of being in God's mission. Many times he showed up to talk and got run out of the synagogue for telling a Jesus story. How many times he ended up in the road with people yelling at him, spitting on him, kicking him, picking up stones to throw at him. How many times he had to leave a city? How many times he was let down on the side of a wall to escape during the night? How many times he was on a ship and that ship wrecked? How many times he was thrown in prison? And how many times he got out only to be thrown back in again? How many times he was left for dead? How many times people he thought had heard clearly hadn't heard a thing? How many times to how many people he talked about Jesus and the kingdom of God? And how there was always the great divide among those who heard and heard and those who heard not a thing. He had been beaten. He was worn out. He'd been thrown out of baseball games. His credit card was declined. His wallet was stolen. You name it, it happened. And yet his final words are these: the people hear the story. And for whatever reason, who will know? To some it will bring life. And others will just go ahead walking their destinies and paths of death. But here's the good news. Here's the final word of the entire story. It never was about Paul. It was always about the kingdom. And when it's all said and done, Luke writes that Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That last word says it all. The literal meaning of the word is unstoppable. It didn't make any difference how many times Paul was beaten up. It didn't make any difference how many cities he was run out of. It didn't make any difference how many times he went down on the ship. It didn't make any difference how many stones were thrown at him. It didn't make any difference if they were going to come and drag his body and put it on a cross and crucify him like Jesus, because whatever happens, whatever circumstances come, however life unfolds, when the sun rises on the next day, whether he lives or dies is inconsequential, because there's one truth and one truth only. The kingdom of God is unstoppable, unstoppable, unstoppable. And so here we are, unstoppable. That's what we have. Churches will come and go, but the mission is unstoppable. Friends will come and go, but what God is doing in the world is flat unstoppable. It is the grace and the goodness and the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that when we are plugged into the mission of God, all hell can break loose against it. It is unstoppable every time. It always has been. Pharaohs can't stop it. Kings can't stop it. Queens can't stop it. Prime ministers can't stop it. Presidents can't stop it. Congress can't stop it. Military can't stop it. Economists can't stop it. Bad people can't stop it. Religious people can't stop it. Deacons can't stop it. Preachers can't stop it. You can't stop it. It is the kingdom of God unleashed in the world. And when we're a part of that, it is unstoppable no matter what happens to you. That's your story. Stick with it. That's what you got. That's what we celebrate today. 104 years where God has worked. It's not about this institution, the building, facility, the programs. It's about the unstoppable mission of God in our world. And that's what we're tying into. That's our tomorrow. That's our future. That's what it's going to take. And it's unstoppable. I'm going to invite you, if you would, to stand with me, please. I'm going to pray. After I pray, we'll sing together. And I'd like to invite anyone who wishes to come and be part of something that no matter what happens to any of us, what you are coming to, what you are embracing, what you are just throwing your life into is an unstoppable movement of God in Jesus Christ. If God has been speaking to you about that movement and being part of that, I would love, we would love as a church family to welcome you, to embrace you, to hear your story, to walk with you, to grow with you, to share life with you. And if you'd like to begin that story, I invite you to come today or come to me and say, I'm not sure about all that, but I do want to talk about it. I'll take you to lunch and we'll talk about it. We'd be delighted to do that. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that whatever happened to Paul in all of this, wherever his life went, whether he just died an old death or whether he was hung on a cross or whether he was thrown into water or whether he was kicked or beaten to death, whatever happened to him, he knew that all of that really didn't matter. What mattered was that his life had been changed by Jesus Christ and he was a part of something that was totally unstoppable. And Father, that's what we're about. We're about a movement that is unstoppable in today's world, that is unstoppable in every generation, that is unstoppable as we hand this to our children and our grandchildren, that is unstoppable as we share it with family, friends, and neighbors. So, Father, we come and we give thanks. And for those who hear the message and receive it, thank you for our brother or sister. For those who hear it and their hearts don't receive it yet, give us patience and compassion and kindness to keep telling the story, to keep living the life, to keep loving on them. And the day shall come, is our prayer, that what they've seen for so long will be obvious. What they've heard for so long will just make sense and they'll see Christ. So, Father, we come. We do so in Jesus' name. Let's sing. Step out and come. I'll be right here to meet you as you do so.